We're back with Brews and Reviews to finish off Spidey December. I'm Jake. We got Cole here, and we are going to do No Way Home.
Spider-Man 3.
You can't call it that.
It's Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, but they didn't call it that for a reason. But holy crap. This may be the best Spider-Man film of all time. We got to say our first early thoughts of it. Because I don't want to spoil it early in case anyone accidentally listens. So let's just do it, and then we're going to get into spoilers.
This movie, like, top to bottom, felt a lot more like a Spider-Man movie than the other two in this trilogy. As far as just the general tone of it.
I think it felt like more like a Spider-Man movie than the other ones. I'm like, what
have you seen? No, then, Far From Home or Homecoming. Like, this had, the feel of... Not quite to the Tobey Maguire, but almost. This had, very Spider-Man themes throughout the whole movie.
Yes. This is literally the longest origin trilogy of all time.
Yes.
The more I think about it, I'm like, holy crap. They made us watch three movies. We always get pissed when they did, Harry Potter, Part 2. Twilight, Part 2. And they duped us, man. They're like, we're going to do an origin story. It's going to take three movies.
Yeah. No, and I thought,
just rate it because I want to get into spoilers.
We're going to rate it before we even talk about
all okay. I this is a high, high, high recommend.
Yeah, I would highly recommend. If you've liked any of the Spider-Man movies, you're going to like this movie.
The question... Okay, so we're going to get into spoilers from here on out. So if you haven't seen it, stop being an idiot. Go watch it. But I do have a question, a philosophical question, if you would. If you haven't seen the other Spider-Man movies... Does this hold up?
I feel like even if you came in and this was the very first Spider-Man movie you ever watched, this movie is a good movie, and it would make you watch the other movies just so you had the context because you like this movie so much.
And
similar to when I watched Star Trek. I hadn't seen the old Kirk and Spock Star Trek shows, but I was like, hey, I like this. I went back and watched those shows. I feel like that would be... This movie.
So me and Cole saw this Thursday night. Today is Sunday. And I was sitting there thinking, the one thing I had a big problem with is with the Spider-Man in the MCU. I'm like, can you watch it's not like a Tobey Maguire. It's you can watch them. They're standalone movies. I'm like, can you watch this movie and enjoy it? And I thought about it longer, and I was like, well, you can. You may not have everything else that. You may not have all the connections that I had with it, but I'm like, this is a well-made movie. Everyone had a point and a purpose. And Norman Osborn as the Green Goblin, can we do?
Well, let's go back to our other Spidey-Sembers installments. And I was the one.
How far are we going back?
We were in a big fight about who's a better villain, Dr. Ock or... Green Goblin. I said the Green Goblin is just such a better villain to me as a villain. He's a dark, scary, bad guy. And he took the cake as far as all the other villains. This was who they set up to be the arch nemesis.
This was literally Norman Osborn kicked it out of the park the first time. But holy crap, did he bring it.
Yeah, and you hated him in this movie. You felt what Peter was feeling because he was...
When he was... Oh, we're in spoilers, right?
We're in spoilers.
Okay. The fact they kill Aunt May, when it happened, I'm like, no way. I'm like, no way. No way! you're actually going to kill her? They didn't have an Uncle Ben, and everyone was like, oh, we never got to see the Uncle Ben. I'm like, they had it too much. But Aunt May, when she was as soon as she, got up, she's like, oh, I just need a rest. I'm like, oh, she's dead.
Yeah.
She is so dead. But you felt that, though, when she's when she said, with great power comes great, that may be the most cheesiest line ever, but you felt it coming from Aunt May.
Yeah.
To Peter. And then when he had to go after Goblin, he's like, I wanted to kill you myself. I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
Yeah.
This movie gave me everything. This had the most hype of any Spider-Man film of all time.
Yeah. No, literally, we're in the theater, and they have the big curtains, old school theater.
Mm-hmm.
Curtains it's open for the previews, and everybody people started going wild.
How often do people cheer? A lot.
A lot.
A lot.
Even for the previews.
No, but like, I was so happy. they brought a smile to my face. When they're like, yeah! Like, when they saw Andrew Garfield. When they saw Tobey Maguire, like, yeah!
Yep.
Like, it shows that it has a really good following for Spider-Man. But we got to talk about the big one. You don't have the big one?
The big what?
You already switched.
Switched what?
Aunt May. Can we talk about the Aunt May death?
You were rambling. I was letting you do your thing, man.
Okay. Well, yeah, of course. Because Brews and Reviews. Yeah. Sponsored by me.
Yeah, what? I was not detracting from you. You just kept going. But yeah, Aunt May.
That was a tough one, man. Yeah. That was a tough one to swallow.
Well, and I think it's hard because, like, in the very first one with Tobey Maguire, like, you saw, like, Uncle Ben for, like, five minutes.
No, I got to time you out right there. Because I literally watched the original trilogy with Tobey Maguire.
Yep.
I mean, the Uncle Ben death is done so good.
It was.
It was so good.
It was.
So bad. Sorry. So good. I'm so happy he's dead.
No, it was done well. But, like, you didn't have two movies of having Uncle Ben and then kill him.
Technically, they did. Remember when Spider-Man 2, when Uncle Ben came to him and dreamed, like, I need you, Peter.
No, I said you don't have two and then kill him. They killed him in the first one.
We got to get on the same track. We're completely off.
Okay. And especially in the Amazing Spider-Man, you knew it was coming. You knew, like, you for sure knew he was just going to die, like, right away. So you were, like, didn't ring as true. But I'm like, this one where you have Aunt May for, like, two whole movies, and then now, like, I didn't really... I mean, they kind of set it up that you kind of saw it coming eventually.
Oh, no one saw it. I would never predict they'd kill Aunt May on this one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was nothing like, oh, yeah, I bet Aunt May's going to die in this movie.
They had balls.
Yeah. Cojones.
So, gripes with the movie. Let's talk about that. Because I know you have some gripes.
You know, I'm sure you're going to disagree.
I'm sure I will. That's why it's called a podcast.
The only real thing that I'm like, you know what? I feel like this movie was solid as far as, like, I can see, I heard that some people thought, like, oh, they went too hard into fans. So I'm like, I can see that, but I don't agree with it. But I didn't feel the connection between Peter and Mary Jane. Especially, like, okay, hear me out before you punch me in the face.
I'm not going to punch you in the face, but...
But when Andrew Garfield doesn't catch Gwen Stacy...
Spoiler alert for Amazing Spider-Man 2, if you haven't seen
it. We already did that podcast. When he doesn't catch her, like, it, like, broke... Like, it was like, I don't know how to handle this. Like, this is the movie. Like, they had such good chemistry when there was that brief blink in time where Peter got swiped Tom Holland got swiped. I'll leave it at that so you know which one I'm talking about. So he wasn't going to...
Spoilers. Just see what happened.
He wasn't going to be able to save Mary Jane. And then Andrew Garfield, like, goes and saves her. It was a really cool moment for Andrew Garfield. But I'm like, if she would have died, it wouldn't have been the same as when Gwen Stacy died. They didn't have... I don't feel like they had the chemistry. And I thought that was one of the things that this movie worked. And it was really good. But I never felt like they had, like, really good chemistry.
See, I feel like over the other two movies, it's like, oh, MJ, Peter, you're supposed to be together. This is the first movie that I've seen with them. They're actually, like, I actually believe they're in love.
See, I thought they were better in Far From Home than they were in No Way Home.
We disagree on that.
We do disagree.
So, you're kicked off. Now it's the Jake podcast with Brews and Reviews, just me.
But this
movie had so much. Like, I am so happy that with all the villains, like, that they brought back, with all the heroes they brought back, like Tobey Maguire, like, they weren't side characters. These are literally supporting actors in this movie, and it was really cool to see. Like,
oh yeah, 100%. That's what I'm saying. I don't really have gripes, and that wasn't even a gripe. I just thought, like, there's one thing where I'm like, oh, that could have been better. Where I'm like, otherwise, like...
He hates it.
The rest of the story was, you know, the whole Doctor Strange thing was you know, just kind of a very Spider-Man-esque thing that would happen.
Do you think Doctor Strange did this because he was like, I'm not the Sorcerer Supreme anymore? He's like, I'm totally going to do this. Now, the trailer, and I'm so happy that Marvel does this all the time. The trailer's like, oh, they're going to do this. And then he's like, hey, can I have this? He's like, okay. Can I have this? Okay. And he keeps doing the rings. And he's like, can I have this? Okay. And he's like, okay, stop. I think Doctor Strange was responsible at this point.
Yes.
Like, he kept giving me, like, other wishes, like, I'm not a genie. Fuck off.
Yeah. No, but, like, I was saying about that, like, it felt very Spider-Man-esque. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, in the middle of your really important spell, I need my best friend to know. Oh, and by the way, I need Happy to know. Oh, and by the way.
Yeah. He's like, by the way, and he's like, stop fucking up. But I will say this, and Spider-Man does a good thing. What Spider-Man means to me since I was a kid was hope. Like, always hope, defeat the evil. That was it. That was it for me. And this movie literally compacts it all into one movie, and they knock it straight out of the park. Like, when Tobey Maguire stopped Tom Holland with that glider, because that's how Norman Osborn is trying to kill him. And he stops and he's like, don't. Like, just the but the chemistry between all the Spider-Men.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun. Like,
I was dying in the theater when they were, like, going back and forth. They're like, wait, so where does your web fluid come from? Does it come out of anywhere else?
He's like, you guys make your own? He just shoots it over there. And they're like, what? Like, this is literally a Spider-Man film made for Spider-Man fans and everyone else. This might be my favorite MCU movie of all time.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet, but I'll have to think about it.
You probably have to wait for Endgame. Oh, wait, it already came out.
Well, I mean, Endgame wasn't my favorite.
But Endgame did promise, like, it completed the promise that everyone wanted.
Yeah, it was a good movie, but it was not my favorite movie. But no, like, this movie, well, I guess they did a really good job on two things as well as they stayed very true to their villains, so they didn't have their villains become other people.
He's willing to fight, like, as Green Goblin. Like, he was so good. He might have been better than he was in the first
one. But he was the same character as far as, like, he wasn't breaking character to fit the narrative of this movie. So even as the villains are, like, kind of choosing their sides, like, oh yeah, Doc Ock actually helps out the Spider-Man.
Which makes sense, though, could they?
Exactly, because he was a good guy, and, you know, like, all the different villains kind of stayed true to what they had done in earlier movies, as far as, like, the Green Goblin side of Norman Osborn was, you know, like, the pure evil side. That was a very dark side, so, like, it made sense that he went down the road that he went versus, again, Doc Ock, was the nice guy that really did like Peter Parker.
And he died a hero.
And he did die a hero. And, like, he stayed a hero in this, even as a villain.
No, I'm going to tear up just thinking about this. Because one of my favorite moments in this movie is Doc Ock talking to Toby. He's like, you grew up, Peter. And, wow, what a moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't have the nostalgia that Jake had because I didn't love the originals I didn't love the originals more than life itself, but I thought they did a really good job with that, and I thought they did a really good job, like we talked about, with each individual Peter Parker, with the Tobey Maguire, the Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland. They stayed true to each of their characters, and they built in the redemption of each of the Spider-Man within the movie. So, you know, Tobey Maguire has this thing where, especially with Norman Osborn, where he stops the glider from killing Norman Osborn, now gives Norman Osborn the chance that he never could. Then you have Andrew Garfield that saves MJ, like he couldn't save Gwen Stacy.
And that's why, like, finish it, he had one more.
And then Tom Holland.
Stop killing someone. Stop trying to kill someone, because that's what Spider-Man does.
Yeah.
He doesn't kill.
Yeah.
It literally, like, it literally had, they literally could just put, like, hey, look, there's Andrew Garfield. hey, there's Tobey Maguire. Hey, we have all the Spider-Men back. But they literally put a lot of thought in this movie. And I got to say, I love Spider-Man 2, and you can see that in the previous podcast. But I got to say, I'm pretty damn sure this is the best Spider-Man movie ever made.
I think so.
Like, at least live action.
Yep. I mean, at least for me, again, you have been a huge fan of Spider-Man 2 since forever. It's one of your favorite movies. I think this movie was so good because you felt like that was a part of this movie now. So same thing, like all the other movies, even the bad ones, like Amazing Spider-Man 2 that we kind of ripped on because it was just not a good movie.
Spider-Man 2?
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, I thought you said Spider-Man 2. I'm like, no. I'll rip you apart again.
No, the Amazing Spider-Man 2 was way too many villains. There was a lot of complications that didn't need to be there. There was terrible chemistry between Harry Osborn and
Spider-Man. There was no reason to bring Harry
Osborn. Yeah, like, there was a lot wrong with that movie, but in this movie, like, in when you're watching this, it's like, hey. Like, it all fits together.
Like when Andrew Garfield's talking about, like, actually, I really appreciated when Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire were coming to talk to Spider-Man, Tom Holland, and
crying Spider-Man, of course. You need to have seen where Spider-Man
cries. Well, that's so we watched it with our friend Jordan, and he's like, Spider-Man's crying all the time. I'm like, have you seen how much Tom Holland cries? How much Andrew Garfield cries? I'm like, why do you guys hate on this guy? But I think one of the... Oh, man, I got... Hold on.
When they came to talk to Peter.
Yeah.
He was super sad.
And he said, like, I couldn't believe how dark they went when Andrew Garfield said, he's like, I got petty. I stopped pulling my punches. Like, I'm pretty sure Andrew Garfield killed some people.
Well, and so to go on a total side tangent.
Oh, God. We have to do this again. Okay.
We have to go do this again.
I've done it. So go ahead.
I heard that Andrew Garfield would be interested in coming back as Spider-Man in the Sony universe. So, what?
I'm not saying anything.
So, Andrew Garfield coming back as Spider-Man to fight Venom. And this is like a darker, older Spider-Man. I think that would have some legitimate...
It's funny you say that, because you know what would be awesome? I was really hoping Tobey Maguire had a beard. Like an old gray beard. When he came back. But, Cole, you got to admit, when Ned did that circle, and you look at it, it's like, that's not Tom. Wait, what? And he pulled up a mask like Andrew Garfield. Literally, the crowd erupted.
It did.
And we even saw it coming.
Yeah, but yeah, as soon as he pulled his mask off. Well, there was a couple moments where it was funny because people like would start cheering before it actually happened. Like, stuff just clicked. Like, as soon as MJ was falling and they didn't save her, and he hadn't even jumped yet, but they panned to Andrew Garfield. And he didn't even save her yet, and the entire theater just...
I didn't see that coming. Broke out. Like once Norman, I'm like, oh, shit, they're going to kill her. And then he caught her, and he's like, you okay? Yeah. I'm like, that was such a good arc. Like, they literally closed so many arcs.
Yeah. But, again, I think Andrew Garfield coming back in the Sony universe, this could be a win-win for everyone.
If they do it right. Like, this movie was the weirdest origin trilogy of all time.
But my point is, I feel like it still works for Andrew Garfield, though. Because Andrew Garfield was dead in the water, but after this movie...
I never hated Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, though.
No, but after Amazing Spider-Man 2, and then they, like, did Tom Holland, like, Andrew Garfield was done.
Well, did you think Tobey Maguire was done, too?
Yes. After Spider-Man 3? But I don't think he's going to come back and play Spider-Man anymore. Like,
I kind of want him to a little bit.
I think Andrew Garfield, Tom Hardy, let's see it.
That actually would be pretty fun.
But the Tom Hardy after credit scene... I will say I'm a little disappointed, not going to lie.
Don't take away from the movie. Like,
okay, I'm not taking away from the movie. I mean, I was kind of secretly hoping Venom would show up at some point in this. And then they like...
I'm kind of glad they did it the way they did it.
He didn't need to be in this movie, but then all of a sudden they go to the after credit scene and Tom Hardy is in it. I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting.
There's a Tin Man. So he killed himself. Okay.
Yeah. But then it's like, oh, actually.
Wearing a Corona hat.
Actually, he's not going to. Doesn't seem like he is going to fight Spider-Man, but the Venom that he left there is now going to fight Spider-Man. But
would you want Tom Hardy fighting Spider-Man? I mean, yes. I don't think that. How are you going to make that story, dude?
I don't care how you make the story. Let's just see it.
That's how you make bad movies.
Like, Let There Be Carnage.
It wasn't a bad movie.
That's exactly what they did. They're like, we want Venom to fight Carnage. And we don't care how we do it. And
they learned their lesson, did they not?
No, because people still went to go see that movie.
No, because if we want to see black suit. Like, imagine Tom Holland after Aunt May died. Uncle Ben's dead. MJ and Ned have forgotten about him. Now he gets the black suit and fills him with rage. That's the movie I want to see.
Yeah.
Like, and it's going to get dark.
And Tom Hardy's there.
Well, it could be just another Tom Hardy from the universe.
There we go. But yeah, that was the one thing where I'm like, I feel like building a franchise, like the Venom franchise, by itself independently, and then you have that, oh, like, Peter Parker after credit scene in his movie, and then you're like, oh, by the way, actually, it's not going to happen that way. It's like, okay. That's not even part of the movie. I'm just disappointed that I'm not going to get to see that.
Okay, so unpopular opinion. I'm glad they did it that way because they shot him in and they shot him out. Just so there's a reason why the actual Black Venom is there. Because it would make no sense for the Venom, like symbiote, to go after Peter Parker. After he already took two movies to attach to Eddie Brock.
Yeah.
Like that would not have worked.
Maybe.
I guess we'll never know. Yeah. Because he got zoomed back.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into an alternate universe too. Oh, it didn't work. Damn.
Yeah. No, and I mean, there's different things that, you know, maybe could have been better about this movie, but nothing really consequential. I think this movie's
great.
This movie was very good at what it tried to do.
Like, even with all the hype, it still nailed. Like, I'm sorry, this is a 9.8.
9.8.
Yeah, like, it's higher than Spider-Man 2.
Wait, okay, so why isn't it a 10? Your favorite superhero of all time, your favorite superhero movie of all time, it sounds like. Why doesn't it get a 10, Jake?
It's about to. 10.
Come on, you have to have one gripe with the movie.
I do have a gripe. What's the gripe? That's the reason why I got 9.8. All right, so let's talk about the gripe. I feel like it doesn't take away. Okay, whatever, I'm going to do it. So the reason why I have a gripe with this movie is early on, the editing, the film editing, like early on was like shaky cam / cutaway. I was like, I actually thought I was going to hate this movie. I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? Then they finally got focused after about 30 minutes in.
They did do a little shaky cam during the fighting, though. I did notice that. Like, Jason Bourne style, almost.
Yeah. But they didn't do it good. Right?
Like, it was just, like, a little bit where you're like, okay, what's going on exactly here? Like, the Bourne trilogy did that a lot, where they had the shaky cam during their fight scenes, like, to make it seem cool. But then they were like, okay, I can't really see what's going on that well. And they did that a little bit in this movie, but I didn't feel like it ruined it. But I did notice that where I'm like, you could study that camera a little bit.
But they literally did later. That's the weird thing. It's like everything was shaky. Like when they had like the camera on Tom Holland, he is walking by. He's like, oh. And they come. But
what part of the movie are you talking about?
The beginning.
When is he going? Oh.
Well, he didn't go oh, but he was like staring at the camera and like shifting one way or the other.
Oh,
do you not? Oh, we have to see it again on Tuesday? Oh, what a bummer.
Oh, I guess.
I'm so pissed. But watch it again. Like, the beginning, I'm like, man, you guys are not bringing me in. But then they got their focus. They focused it down to what they wanted to do. And I think they nailed it. I can't. Actually, also, if I had another gripe, Sandman.
What was wrong with Sandman?
Well, early on, like, the first line, Peter, I'm going to protect you. And then he's like, no, I'm totally going to betray you. Like, it kind of made no sense how
that worked. To me, Sandman was like, He just wanted to go home. He didn't care what side he had to play to get home. He wasn't involved.
Do you don't think that's a gripe?
I feel like that's how he was as a character.
So how are you going to rate it then? How are you ranking it?
Before I rank it, I want to say one more thing.
Okay.
The ending, where...
No. Andy, like, I want to hear about after credits
scenes. No, the ending, okay. In the regular movie, where, like, he goes to Mary Jane, but then he doesn't actually say anything or dad. He just leaves them be. Like, that felt so, like, original trilogy-esque. Like, that was very, like, Spider-Man.
Dude, that was him becoming the actual hero he needed to
exactly.
be.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you
that were... That wasn't a gripe.
I thought you were griping on him. Like,
no, I'm saying, like, dude, Homecoming and Far From Home, you didn't really get a lot of themes from the original trilogy. I didn't feel like. This one, again, like I said, it felt like there was a lot of Spider-Man themes that you've seen in other movies, but not in a bad way. Like, they did them well, but they were definitely, like, Spider-Man themes.
100%. This is the first time I actually, again, the longest origin trilogy ever. Yes. Like, he actually became a hero at the end where he's like, he had the whole thing he could tell to MJ, and he's like, it doesn't hurt anymore. And he just looked, and he's like, okay. He's like, I gotta let you guys go, because that's what a hero does. And then he sewed his own suit.
Yeah. And that suit, is that like, that's just the standard? That's
comic. It's comic accurate.
Okay, so that's like most times he wore that suit in the comics.
Yep.
Okay.
That it was really cool to see him wear it. But the cool thing about this, and I think no one's ever touched on it, like, oh, Iron Man made his suits. And that was the point. Like, Peter's growing older and older and older. Like, now he's like, I don't need Tony Stark. I don't need these friends. Like, I'm just going to be a hero. And that's what Spider-Man does. It's what we do.
Yeah.
It was so cool to see. Like, yeah. I have to see this movie. Like, I have 3 kids at home, but I have to see this movie again. I will buy a babysitter.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to rate this movie...
Oh, come on. Do not disappoint me.
A 4 out of 10, Jake.
This podcast is over. Forever. Come on, no. Give it...
No,
you have to. Come on.
I was going to say a 9 out of 10. This movie was very good, very enjoyable.
I would literally buy this as soon as it comes out.
I really don't rate movies 10 out of 10, so I don't feel like it was quite there. And again, like, it wasn't one of those movies that I thought was an amazingly flawless movie in every way. I just thought it was really solid in every way. Like,
I was really happy that the like with Toby and Andrew back in the picture, they were supporting characters. They just put them in there and be like, hey guys, remember these? Hey guys, remember these? Like, Norman Osborn as the Green Goblin, holy crap. Like, he was terrifying.
Yeah. No, and, like, they did a good job on, like, they were still all part of Tom Holland's story.
Origin story.
Yep.
This is really
an but origin. All these characters, they were true to themselves, they were true to their character, they were true to whatever, but they were still all part of his overarching story, which is why it worked so well. You didn't feel like we're taking an Andrew Garfield, like, side ramp, and now it's all about him. It's like, this is still about Tom Holland, definitely.
So who had the better intro, though? Toby?
Or Andrew Garfield?
We told him. He holds his hand up, like, this is enough.
No, it's not.
Can you get that cowboy over there?
Or it's like, do you have a suit? Or are you just going to go looking like a fancy-dressed youth pastor?
So, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Of all the superhero films ever made, is Dark Knight better than No Way Home?
Is Dark Knight better than No Way Home?
Well, you know I love Dark Knight Rises most. But
and you know I love Batman Begins most.
Okay, so compared to that. I mean, come on. Come to the light side.
No, I don't know if I'm coming to the light side. The thing about... Well, actually, The Dark Knight, the more I've watched it over the years, the more, like, I have a definite, like, appreciation for The Dark Knight, where I definitely see why people like that
better. Well, I love that movie.
Better than Batman Begins. I've been very clear, if you've listened to this podcast at all, I love origin stories. A well-done origin story is one of my favorite things.
It technically counts.
And that's true. And this movie did a very good job on... It's an origin story, and it ties up so many different things that I can see that argument being made. Am I ready to make it? Not necessarily. But, again, like, if somebody says, hey, I think this is better than The Dark Knight, I'm not like you're an idiot. But, yeah, I'm not quite...
So how would you rank it, then, Cole?
What?
All your superhero films and the one you just saw 3 nights ago.
I mean, that's really hard, but...
But you got to put it up there. It's got to be top 10, right?
I would say it's right around top 5. I haven't sorted through...
I didn't expect you to go that high. Well done.
I haven't sorted through all the things yet. And again, with Marvel, like, I remember liking Winter Soldier. I think that's probably my favorite Marvel.
Yes.
Like, Winter Soldier, and Guardians of the Galaxy, I've really liked. Where, like, this one, like, how was it compared? I'm like, well, I kind of need to see Winter Soldier again now and, like, kind of compare it, like, back to back.
Oh, so next Christmas, we're going to just do a Marvel marathon.
There we go. And then, like, I would say, again, Dark Knight, Batman Begins, to me, are always going to be in my top five. So this, like, this and those two Batman movies, those two Marvel movies, and Spider-Man 3, I think, would round out to a nice top five. I think, again, this is a very good movie where maybe it's going to be one of those things that I don't like as much after I've seen it a few times, but really I feel like there's probably more to be gained over the next couple times I watch it. Like, it's a movie that it's hard to soak it all in one viewing, so it's hard to get
an accurate picture. This is literally a movie as soon as it was done. I wish the theater said, you guys are stuck here, we got to watch it again.
There we go.
I am so proud of whoever directed.
So, Jake, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Is there a better superhero movie?
Technically, I don't want to say it.
What is it, Jake?
Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
So, what I loved about before, let me explain myself. Podcast viewers, you in the Virgin Islands.
It's Cayman Islands, but...
Ipso facto.
Here I guess they used to be the Virgin Islands.
No, like, I am so happy that they, like, even though they had dark tones, like, when you saw Spider-Man with his mask off looking at J. Jonah, the OG J. Jonah Jameson, and he's sitting there and he's crying, he's like, oh, yeah. But they never, ever took away what made Peter Parker and Spider-Man great. Hope. Like he was down on his luck. But what I love about Spider-Man films, they're still light. They still have humor. They still do their thing. Dark Knight Rises is one of my favorite superhero films of all time because it's Batman. And Batman can get beaten down, and you shouldn't have that much humor to it. So I feel like I'm comparing apples to oranges. Apples being Spider-Man, oranges being Batman. Like, you can't compare them. Like, they're two of the greatest superheroes of all time. Actually, you know, screw Superman. They are the two greatest superheroes. Yeah.
Superman, don't get me started on Superman. Superman was the laziest made superhero of all time.
You know how they found out how he could fly? Did you ever hear the story? Oh, I got a funny story for you. So, the guy literally was about to go on vacation. And he didn't read it properly. He's like, oh, he can jump higher than a building. Originally, Superman can only jump. He misread it and made him fly.
Dude. Superman is, he can fly. He has X-ray vision. He has laser eyes. He's bulletproof.
Don't forget the breath.
Yeah, he can use his breath to blow out an entire city fire. Like, Superman is the most boring hero. Because unless there's kryptonite on the table, he
made two.
He's a god.
Yeah, he literally is a god.
But like an annoyingly invincible god, where it's like, unless there's kryptonite there, there's no point for any villain to even like pretend to take him on. You never have like this, oh, he might lose.
You're right.
Where like Spider-Man
has weaknesses.
And he has good villains. Now we disagree about which ones are the better ones, and Batman has great
Doc Ock and Green Goblin. Get bent.
Green Goblin to me is the top.
No, especially top now. I'm like, I'm sorry, Doc Ock. Take a second shelf.
Yeah, Green Goblin's the best villain. Best Spider-Man.
Norman. Villain. Dude, oh my God. William Dafoe.
And he
did. I want to write him a Christmas letter, be like, thank you so much.
How old is he now? He's like 60 and he still did all his own stunts.
Yeah. Like, but he made it like, he sold every single scene he was in. Oh, but even Doc, Alpha Marina. Alfred Molina.
Kang.
He was so good, too. Like, when you talk to Peter, like, Peter, you grew up? I'm like, I don't want to cry.
Why? He was crying. I saw him.
I was tearing up, man.
But, yeah, anyway, obviously, we both really liked the movie.
Yeah.
Really good.
10 out of 10.
9.8. We heard him say it before. We know.
I had a couple gripes, but I'm not going to tell. Like, I'm going to show this movie to my kids.
Oh, yeah. No, because
like, now, you have to watch all these.
Now there's a reason. Like before, you wouldn't necessarily want to go back and watch Amazing Spider-Man necessarily. Like, you probably would, but it wouldn't be necessary. Where now it's like you can't really appreciate Tom Holland like, Spider-Man.
Really have to show them all
without watching Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that because I already watched every single
Spider-Man. Yeah, where it's like it makes him relevant. So like a new viewer coming into this, like. You want to watch all the Spider-Man, you really got to start at the beginning.
Well, I was going to show him the original trilogy. Now I have to show him the Andrew Garfield. And to be honest, Andrew Garfield, again, knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, and so when he comes back in the new Venom movie, it's going to be great.
Dude, so many possibilities. Come on, give me that.
So say no, but just think about it. Say you have Tom Holland doing his crazy Venom story, and then Sony comes out, Andrew Garfield fighting Tom Hardy.
There's so many possibilities.
It could happen. I'm just saying.
Do not hope me. Do not give me that. Now you're making me think about it. But if you haven't heard it already, if you're going to listen here for us for 37 minutes, go watch the movie. Go Spider-Man.